The Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning with the first verse.
Glory to you, Lord.
For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted the property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another one according to their ability. Then he went away. The one who had received 5 talents went off at once and traded them, and he made 5 more. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one who had the 2 talents also came forward saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more. The master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been entrusted with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid. I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I do not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And on my return, I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For all of those who have more will be given. And they who have an abundance, but from those who have nothing, even that which is given is taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him out into the darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. It really is quite a privilege to be here. The last time I stood up here, I was about 16. And Pastor Metter, Ted Metter, had asked if we would do a youth service. I really didn't quite get through some of the readings, and I found myself a little shaken even today as I was reading it. Some things come back, although I've been at this for 40-some years since those days. Thomas Wolfe once said, "You can't go home." I think you can, especially if your home was a very loving place where people affirmed you, thought of you, what you could do, helped you develop your talents, and sent you on your way with that care and that compassion behind you. And for me, that's what St. Paul, Fulton, Maryland, has been and is. So it's a privilege to be here. As for this lesson, we're supposed to preach good news. We have to look around a lot in there. These are not the easiest lessons to use right now. And there are a lot of things in there, but I probably would like to just focus in on one thing. We who are given gifts need not be afraid, because fear will handcuff us. You've got to go forth with a bold assertion and joyful daring, to quote Martin Luther. and feel and understand that God will be with you in that venture. That we are more gifted than we ever dreamed we would be or could be. Especially with the God of life and love working through us and challenging us and giving us the very identity and the very gifts that create the world of life and love. We are made right with God because of God's love for us. And we believe that. And we affirm that. And we live that with a bold assertion. I think that in this time of the Reformation, in looking at this again, what are we and who are we and what can we do? I would like to say to you that I left here in the Piedmont region. It was kind of an odd thing, honestly, but I'll share. I enrolled at Maryland University. I was not a stellar student. In fact, I was barely adequate, to be very frank. I went to Glenelg High School, and bless them, when I could speak and I could do some things, they let me go on through. All of a sudden, people in college wanted me to write these things down. I'm amazed at that. And I went to Maryland U in summertime, and it seemed like it was a classroom with 200 people around, and they had a television up there, and I was scared. And I came back and talked to Pastor Mentor. It was August. And I said, I'm not sure. He said, you ought to go to Capital University in Columbus, Ohio, my school. He got on the phone. 2 weeks later, I was in Columbus, Ohio. I went to college there. I went to seminary there. From 1961 through 1999, I was in Flatland, Ohio. I met my wife there, and that became a part. Now, as I come back to this rolling Piedmont region, it is something. It's very powerful to step back to your roots and to see what they are. And as I come into this sanctuary today, now having retired from the parish in 2011 after Easter, that was April, by August, I was kind of saying to myself, Lord, I'd like to do one more last thing for the kingdom of God, if I can do it with some gusto and some ability, and like to let the world change through your love working through me one more time. And that led me to a group of people, Episcopalians, Roman Catholics, Lutherans, both branches. You thought the age of miracles was over. Presbyterians, Methodists, United Church of Christ. And we worked together in this honored system called Food for the Poor. 35 years, it's been in existence. And we only work with the 17 countries around the Caribbean. Sometimes I say, we're like the Kentucky Fried Chicken of ministry. We do one thing in one area and we do it exceedingly well. Now, I also care about Lutheran World Relief because I think going into Syria and Africa and those places are important, and that's a part of our giving as well. But for these 17 countries that are on our border, I kind of think of it as Lazarus at the gate. It's right there. It's something we can do a lot with and for. And we reap so much back from it. We've been at this 35 years. And in that time, we've built over 100,000 homes in the area. 10,000 of them since the earthquake that happened in Haiti. Now, I have been in two of those 17 countries. Jamaica and Haiti. So my experience that I share with you comes from there. I can witness that. I've been there. I've touched it. I've seen it. And I could share it with you. Food for the poor, again, blessed. And I think in this time of the Reformation, for me, let me just say it this way, add this part. Luther wanted to reform the church. Luther did not want to break with the church. That happened. And as I see this composite of Christianity caring about the most vulnerable of people, I think I see the very heart of what the faith is all about. And that's why it's great pleasure to be here. And I have been in four different congregations. Sandusky, Ohio, if you like roller coasters, your crowd may like to go there. You did say they went there, yeah. you want to go the highest, fastest. I'm the one standing on the ground, not going in any of that. But that's, go there, you'll enjoy it. I was there about 14 and a half years. Then Euclid, Ohio, which is Cleveland, you know, go Tribe. Anyway, that's, so I became a part of that. Then I went to Pennsylvania for 4 years, and then recently then to Florida. So that's been my path. In every one of those places, you have this tension in a congregation. How do we create a worship situation and place where we can be and can raise the life of God, Christ in ourselves? And we also have to see that we can't be totally turned in. How do we also look out and see that the Christ has called us to the most vulnerable? Whenever you do this for any one of the least of my children, you've done it for who? I see you. You've done it for who? Me. That's still there. That's a part of who it is. And that balancing act, how you do it, how do we spend our resources? And I want to say to you in this world, I know you get as much through the mail as I do of people requesting, and I'm coming. I'm going to say to you, I think it's donor beware even more than buyer beware. I really do. And I want to say to you that of every dollar that comes generously through you and other people just like you, we use 4.44 cents of that dollar for all fundraising and all administration. That gives us one of the highest rating from Charity Navigators. Go online, those of you who are really comfortable doing that. I do a lot better with my granddaughter sitting right beside me on that line stuff. But go online, look, see what you've got. 4.44 cents out of every dollar. That means almost 96 cents then is spent on housing, feed, orphanages, schools. I could go on and on and on, but you didn't bring your lunch. Let me kind of share maybe some stories. One of the things I'm most delighted for, and maybe want you to consider, and that is this. We can build homes for $3,600. That's a big gift. It is. $200 a month for a year and a half. If you do, if you're so blessed, and maybe in your own mind you would like to create a home for a group of people who, in honor of someone who's done that for you, know this, we actually, they cost $7,200. We're matched dollar for dollar, particularly in Haiti these days, and that's what I'm thinking about, tell you the truth, by World Bank. We will leverage everything. Food for the Poor tries to do that. And what is that home? That home is two rooms. It is a solid roof. Originally, they were to take 125 mile an hour winds. Now, my home in Orange, Florida, which I live right now, will withstand 125 mile an hour winds. That's a good home. The last hurricane that blew into Haiti, now, that wasn't Maria, and this is going on in Puerto Rico right now. By the way, I'll allude to that. We're heavily involved with Puerto Rico because it's right beside all the islands, but it's been much more developed than others before, but I'll come back to that. But in Haiti, Matthew blew in at 145. That's a big blow. And we're seeing they stand. Good news. We lost 411 roofs. Every house stood. Thank you, Jesus. And we've now retrofitted. It will now take 145 mile an hour winds. We put a solar panel on top of the roof. Because schools are not free in that area. If you're in one of our houses and you have children, and they always have children, you go to our school now. We want to educate people. We want to first feed them to keep them alive. We educate them and then teach them how to make a profit. The homes that we built are not built by you and me and people like us going down. That's a nice style, but Food for the Poor is using this style. We teach the people there how to build their own homes. Concrete rebar in Haiti. And then they can go on and repair those homes, fix those homes. We pay them money. They go buy. They send their kids to school. Create an economy. Strong neighbors. Who wants to leave home if you don't have to, if you're not desperate? That's kind of where we are. It is a gift. We can feed someone for 6 cents a meal. Sixth Sense. It's phenomenal. It's beans, it's rice, but it's more than that. It's poultry or tilapia or something on that order. Sometimes things come to us. We received 187,000 tons of rice from Taiwan gratis one time. This is the way we go about it. And we buy broken rice. It doesn't look as pretty, but it feeds just as well. 6 cents a meal. No gift is too small. No gift is too large. Through your generosity, the love of God goes on. Sometimes Jesus says to us some things that are kind of scary to me. He says, you're going to do greater things in my name than even I have done. I do love these days the feeding of the 5,000 story. Sisters and brothers, because Jesus works through us and has continued to make us over the 35 years that we've been involved, the largest relief and development organization located in the United States, Relief, Give a Man a Fish, Development, Teach Him How to Fish. We can feed 2 million people every single day in Jesus' name. Greater things you're going to do in my name than even I have done. I'm here to offer you a way to make that a living truth in your life, here and now, today. It's a gift. It's a gift when we can do these things in Jesus' name, isn't it, really? As you walked in, and I'm juggling around, I'm a klutz, kind of. That's where it boils down to. Here, if everything worked well, you get this accordion dealing. And it gives you a lot more information. You can see up there one of the houses and what people will go from to here. Over here is Wachina. Wachina at that picture was about 4 years old, 4 years ago, and she was 4 years old. Let me also tell you this. We don't take a picture of somebody and say, oh, thank you very much, that was nice. No, we're going to take a picture of you. You are now involved in our school or what's going on. We're not going to leave you there. But if you were to take Wachina right there, and pull that apart. This is an envelope. Keep this. This, you can tell I'm a really shy kind of guy. I'll be at the door on the way out. You'll notice me. I'm in the white robe. I'll be the one lying down. You step over me to get out. Yeah. If you want to give a donation, you can save lives before the end of the week. I promise. Probably most of you might want to take it home and think about these things. That's great. No problem. What's the old statement? Out of sight, what? Out of mind. Don't want you going out of mind on this thing. But I've looked at a lot of refrigerators these days, and I see pictures on refrigerators of people who are loved by you and you love and all that good stuff. Why don't you take Wachina, and Jesus says, whenever you do this for any one of the least of these, you do it for me. Okay, this is your Wachina Jesus. Everybody wants a new picture of Jesus, right? Use your Wachina Jesus. Put it on the refrigerator. Think about it. Think what it could be. And then here's another nice metaphor. What's right behind that refrigerator door keeps Wachina and the Wachinas of the world alive. It is a blessing to be able to use the gifts that God has given to us. And the other part of this parable that says God has entrusted us with his gifts. That's a great trust. And what I'm offering today, I think, is a maximum way to be trustworthy and to feel that. There are many ways. This is one. And I think when we do, then we can hear in our ears, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen.